Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Revelation 3:20. This verse is written to the church of Laodicea, which is also the church that Jesus says he will vomit out of his mouth. So he encourages them to be zealous and repent at his rebuke because of his love. So join in the conversation as we learn lessons from Laodicea. Well, Janie, let's see if we can have our eyes opened to ourselves as we discuss this lukewarm church of Laodicea.
Laodicea has opened my eyes to some things. But Sharon, one of the greatest things that it's opened my eyes to is we usually talk about the throwaway church. Uh-huh. He's standing outside. There's no door handle for him to open and go in because the door has been locked inside. Their hearts are saying, we don't need you in here. We don't need your scriptures. We don't need your words. In fact, Jesus Christ, we don't even need you. We're doing just fine the way we are.
Right.
And yet, there is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this is the Laodicea that was in the first century. So Sharon, do you realize for 2,000 plus years, Jesus has been patiently knocking at the door of their hearts from the outside saying, let me in. I want to sup with you. And you know why he is so patiently waiting? Because he knows the consequences if they choose to still refuse him. Because since he knows past, present, and future, he knows what awaits them in a place that they will choose to reside, known as the lake of fire, for all of eternity. Sharon, how much do we lack patience with another person when we just say, well, they're belligerent, they don't want the Lord, I'm just going to leave them alone? Or the carnal believer who will never have to know the fire of hell, but they may really know the consequence of losing their crown and the destiny and the calling.
Yeah.
So Laodicea is the last church to get it together before the Lord comes and takes his church out.
So sad that we could end up in that kind of blindness.
And so Laodicea really becomes a perfect example of the difficulty we have in really seeing ourselves as we really are.
Okay.
It's almost impossible to evaluate ourselves honestly. We might be like poor, pitiful Pearl, woe is me, or we might be like Superman, I'm so great and there's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah, that Superman one sounds like Laodicea.
And you can tell that because in verse 15 of Revelation 3, the Lord declares what he knows about them. And he says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the next verse, he says, because you say, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked.
So this just really shows how blind we can be to our own selves.
And Sharon, part of that is because our self-being needs to look good, feel good, so we can believe we are good. We want to be prompt in how we respond to people. We want to be super pleasing.
Oh, I see.
We want to be Miss Personality.
Okay.
And we want to let everybody know how prosperous we are, whether it's in material goods or my personality will just draw you.
Right. Well, and some of that has to do with the worldview and how we have allowed it to corrupt our thinking as Christians. And so we dabble in a little of both. We want our comforts of this world, but we also want to be pleasing to God. And so we try to mesh those together in some way that makes us start believing that if we're prosperous, then God is blessing us. If we're prompt and pleasing to people, then that's God's favor on us.
But it all comes back to the fact of, are we really functioning from our spirits and our thinking?
Okay.
Or are we really functioning from the natural man?
Okay.
And when I say the natural man, I mean who we are in the way we were created and then the way we were corrupted at the fall, going back to the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
And so we're really not aware of what we should be, except as we go to the Word and we see what God has declared us to be because of what He's done for us. And we seem to always keep coming back to, it's all about the cross and it's all about the resurrection.
So in their own blindness of how prosperous they were and how spiritual they were, they had no need of the cross or resurrected life, and certainly no need to share that with others.
Well, we go back and use that phrase, Sharon, casual Christianity.
Okay.
And so the church at Laodicea, they didn't want to make any enemies, and they were never worried about moral decay. And heaven and hell, well, those issues were a little extreme for the people who were less enlightened to the superior knowledge that they had. And so, therefore, they have no need of anything. Don't worry. Everything will work out just fine. Now, there's no need for you getting extreme and excited over religion. Let's just be broad-minded.
Oh, wow, Janie. So is that where we get the let go and let God kind of attitude? I mean, is that the same thing as don't worry about it, everything works out for good? I mean, is that an extreme to that?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up, Sharon, because that phrase, let go and let God, was really a group that wanted you to quit trying to manipulate and rule and live by law.
Okay.
It was like, release all your hang-ups and just let God handle the situation.
Right. Trust Him. Yeah. Just trust Him
and
everything.
And that's good, except the way it wound up getting applied was, go passive. Don't even think, just go passive. Let your mind just go. Well, when you let your mind just go, guess who's ready to fill it with something that is according to the enemy's agenda,
right,
rather than according to God?
Absolutely. So back to Laodicea, is this what's happened to them?
Really, when you stop and think about it, each message was delivered to a particular church, but these letters were circulated to all of the churches. And what kind of amazes me is the fact that this church at Laodicea had really just had the letter from Philadelphia sent to them.
Okay.
And they saw the fruit that was coming from that missionary church. And then Laodicea says, oh, I don't need any of that. I'm satisfied. I've got everything I need. So I'm going to tell you that evils were not conquered, devils were not cast out, iniquities, nope, they were never defeated, and iniquity is a type of sin. Lives were not changed because they didn't want things stirred up. Why should they be stirred up with this talk of sin? Because we have need of nothing.
Okay, so they just wanted things to go smooth and don't stir the pot and don't make waves and just go along to get along. And that's big time compromise, isn't it?
It is, and it's blindness. But you know what? If I can remain blind, then I don't have to be responsible.
Oh.
I wouldn't have to take a part in the fight against right and wrong.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to take a stand against sin. I wouldn't have to count the cost of carrying a cross.
Right.
And they weren't about to be made uncomfortable with the burden of what the Lord told us to do. We don't take up his cross. We take the pleasure and the benefits of his cross. And then he says, now you take up your cross and follow me.
So that's probably why we don't study the Bible as much as we should, because if we don't know, then we don't have to take responsibility for doing.
And sometimes,
so we can claim ignorance.
And some people are going to say, well, now, wait a minute, you girls, we do have devotions every day. We do study the Word. Don't put us in that camp. However, we can read words. And Sharon, I've done this. I've read words for years. And then when my heart was right to receive from the Lord.
All right.
A deeper level that he would like for me to go so he can enlarge who he is in me.
Right.
All of a sudden, that study requires more study. So it does take, as we say each week, to be students of the Word and not to be fearful of the discipline that it requires us to be a student.
Fear or laziness. I mean, I think maybe sometimes it's laziness or complacency that robs us of the fruit that God wants to give to us in knowing him.
That's right. Now, when I was going back and reflecting on the church at Philadelphia, in, let's see, that goes back to Revelation 3, verse 11. And remember, Philadelphia didn't have any bad thing to say. There was no negative against them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? There was an exhortation, and here it is. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown.
Okay.
And I've listened to that and listened to that and said that and taught on that in a probably superficial manner. And then I said, okay, Lord, what is it that you're telling the almost perfect church not to let anyone rob you of your crown? So Sharon, I went in and did a word study on how we allow the loss of our crowns.
Okay.
And you know what? We have been given crowns, Sharon, not just to say, oh, look all the good things I've done. And I have people today say to me, oh, I don't really worry about the crowns because I just want to be in heaven.
Okay.
But that doesn't convey the mind of God when he gives a command and an exhortation, don't let anyone rob you of your crown.
Right.
Because the crowns are to be laid at his feet as a tribute to the fact that when he says, if you have ears to hear, we have done that.
Okay.
And he gives that exhortation to every one of the seven churches. And so we can listen. Do you not find that your children, when you say, go clean the kitchen, they listen, but they don't necessarily respond? Or they may respond later, but it's a wipe here and a swipe here, and you go back in later on and you're thinking, well, you didn't clean the kitchen, you just tidied up. So words matter, but it just was an impression upon me of the cost that we reap when we don't listen to each word carefully. And because many at Philadelphia became casual in their ministry, it set up the church at Laodicea to be even further more relaxed in their casualness to the point of, we're fine.
Hey, we're doing everything right and we don't need anything.
Sharon, the church at Philadelphia was given light that really had not been shown very brightly since the time when Jesus walked here on earth. But they were given the principle that we must live a crucified life, but in resurrection power.
Okay.
That means self must give up self and let the Spirit take control, and that we quietly wait on the Spirit to tell us how to live for his honor and glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Most of what we say on Sharon Hearts comes from the writers of the Philadelphian era, where knowing the cross, that would be understanding from the beginning of Romans 6, 7, 8, and then executing it in our daily life, but not in a woe is me, I have to carry my cross, but no, in resurrection power. When Jesus Christ came out of the grave, he made all things new.
Yeah.
That includes us.
Right.
And most of us do not still know who we are in Christ. We have an identification problem.
So we lose our crown because we don't value it. We don't protect it.
Well, and we don't see the need. I've had okay. many people say, oh, Janie, when you tell me that today counts for the future, I'm just so busy serving the Lord and doing what I need to do here. I don't worry or I'm not concerned about when I get to heaven and I get these crowns.
Okay.
So, and the crowns are given because of how we have chosen to live for him. When he says, I'm coming quickly, hold fast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of us are trying to hold fast, but we didn't realize that it's in relationship that we don't lose our crowns.
Right.
Because it's making a statement to the heavenly host and when we stand at the Bema.
You know, it makes me think about starting many projects but never finishing.
Ah.
So, you know, we kind of maybe find ourselves with all of these little half-finished projects, whether it's a quilt or a book or, you know, my kids' baby books are only half done. It's those kind of things that we don't stay faithful to the end, to the finish.
Are you stomping on my toes on purpose? I have picture albums
yeah.
that are not finished, but I started well.
Yeah.
I just didn't discipline myself for the right timing.
Well, and then you find, you know, one day you're like, man, if I had finished that quilt, that would have been a perfect gift to give my daughter when she got married. Mm-hmm. Or that would have been a perfect gift to give my son at his graduation. I mean, I see the failures that just pounce on you at the moment. You're like, ah, you know, now it's a week away. I don't have time to finish that quilt. But if I had stayed steadfast in diligently doing that on a daily basis, then I would have it now to give.
Now, do you realize that you have just described a portion of Scripture in Philippians 3:10 through 14?
All right.
It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. So we've talked about mm-hmm. establishing a project to know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings. Okay? Because I need to press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. I need to keep moving forward mm-hmm. to complete the project,
wow.
which is
yes.
the prize
right.
of what his calling is to us.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those callings is hold fast and don't let anyone rob you of your crown.
Yeah.
And there's two ways that that is mentioned. Sometimes it's mentioned don't let anyone rob you or you don't lose your crown.
Yeah, don't be deceived.
So let's yeah. take this one step further.
Okay.
Let's just say that I have a calling and I don't finish the project.
Right.
I lose my crown.
Okay.
But let's say you came in and you saw where I was failing and you completed the project.
Picked up the pieces and got it done.
Then you received double. All right. And I allowed you to take my crown from me.
I see.
Because I was not diligent in keeping it and holding fast and completing the project.
Right.
Does that put some practicality
yes.
on what you've said?
Yes. And it kind of breaks my heart because I see where I have not been diligent in a few things as we've talked here. I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to pick those pieces up and complete that to stay steadfast.
And then he says, but Sharon, as many as I love, which mm-hmm. includes you, I rebuke and chasten you. But that's
yes.
not a bad thing. That's helping you be who I've called you to be.
Right.
So now, Be zealous and repent and move on for that prize that awaits you.
Right. Yeah, that is so good. That even in the time of Laodicea, where we have this lukewarm attitude that we don't have need of anything, that there is still a message of repentance. You have an opportunity, if you will just have ears to hear and a heart to receive, you can repent today and turn.
And yet, Sharon, there is a strong warning here in Revelation 3. In verse 18, he tells them how to correct the lack that they have fallen into. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich in the things that count. They knew they were rich in the material wealth.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, do you know they had an earthquake in A.D. 60 that destroyed a lot of the territory around them? And they were the only city that never had to get aid from the Roman government. They were so rich that they just rebuilt their city with their own resources.
Wow.
That's how rich they were.
My.
So Lord is saying, now you allow me to refine. And Sharon, when you buy gold refined, that is a process. I have watched gold refiners when I lived overseas.
Uh-huh.
And they put the gold into a pan, and then they turn the heat on, and then they gradually get it hotter and hotter. Now think about this in the process of our daily life, until some little black skim starts to come to the surface, and then they'll quickly skim it off so that that black impurities is removed. Then they turn the fire up just a little hotter, and they wait until they start to see the little skimming of the black particles, and then they swiftly take it off, turn it up a little higher. And so the Lord is saying, buy from me. I know how to turn the heat up in the way that's necessary for each one of you to let the pure gold of your life shine forth.
Right. He also says in that verse about them using some salve for their eyes so they can see.
Sharon, that was particularly addressed to that church because they had an eye salve that they were famous for.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and they also had a great medical school to where they used that eye salve in their doctoring. And that, you know, they had so much. They had a particular kind of wool that was a black wool. They were blessed in many natural resources.
So they really were self-sufficient, if we look at the natural.
Yes. And then he also tells them in that same verse, which that's verse 18, he also tells them to buy from him white garments. And these are white robes that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and that represents salvation.
Okay.
So he was saying, get your eyes open so that you can wear the white robes, so that you can know eternal life.
Right.
So that you can know salvation. Because if you don't, you're going to stand naked before me, and you will expose who you really are as people who have denied me and will not repent.
Oh, wow, Janie. So it's important that we recognize our spiritual need to buy gold that is refined in the fire, which is, according to 1 Peter 1:7, the way we grow in genuine faith. And then buying white garments, which represents our salvation, just making sure that we are clothed in Christ. Anointing our eyes with eye salve helps us to be able to see the Word of God correctly as divine truth. And although these verses were written to Laodicea, the Lord Jesus is also talking to us as individuals, to the innermost part of our being, our heart. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.